connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for web.
Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Oh ho ho! Welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I am your host, Galen Claus.
Oh no, hold on. Did you get into Tim Allen's closet again?
Yes, and I killed him.
Oh, god damn it. I feared this would happen one day.
Yes, in accordance with the Santa Claus, I am the new Santa Claus.
All right. So, I mean, luckily we have a litany of works to actually study and prepare for this. First things first, you need to prepare yourself for the inevitable robot uprising.
Yes, and I also need to get a wife so that I can stay Santa Claus.
True. But also you need to prepare yourself for any time travelers that might try to steal your powers away from you.
And I can never say the phrase, I wish I was never Santa Claus. Oh no!
Ah, man. Well, I guess I'm not Santa Claus anymore.
Anymore? You were never Santa to begin with. What are you talking about? It's not like the Santa Claus from the movie The Santa Claus is real or anything.
Yes, that is the most famous use of that fictional character, Santa Claus. Welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I'm your co-host, Galen.
And I'm Matt, your main host.
And the reason that we're in a Christmassy mood
is because it's after Thanksgiving!
Which means it's officially Christmas season!
It's not even December yet when we're recording this.
Nope, but it is officially Christmas season, which means that we, before we talk about what we're talking about today, have a very brief state of the meme that I would like to share. So, Mariah Carey.
Yes?
Okay, that's the state of the meme. So, no. After pretty much every Thanksgiving, hell, when November starts, pretty much, there's always kind of the, like, anticipation of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, and I just sort of wanted to acknowledge that it's here, get used to it.
Yeah, I think it's like, I kind of have this thing about Christmas music where I feel like the reason why All I Want for Christmas Is You is so overplayed is because it's a relatively recent one compared to, like, you know, with songs that were sung by Crosby, Nash and Stills, or Jackson 5, you know?
Yeah.
It's recent-er, and so it hasn't been completely overplayed yet, but since Christmas music is such, like, a small genre, it has to get overplayed.
Yeah. It's the only staple, like, music, like, Christmas track that's within basically the past two decades.
Yeah.
And so, like, because of that, it's just so, it's really iconic of our generation, I think.
Right. It's not only like a staple music track, but it's an original.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Michael Bublé singing the same songs Frank Sinatra sang.
Yeah, it's, but like, honestly, at the same time, though, while it is, you know, a contemporary song, it honestly has that quality of, like, it feels like it always has been, you know?
Sure.
It feels like the best Christmas songs feel like they've always existed. And All I Want for Christmas Is You feels like it's a, like, really, really hyper upbeat version of, like, a 1950s song, you know?
SCP-12025 is a song composing of lyrics sung by a woman named Mariah Carey.
In brackets, SCP-12025-1.
Yeah. There is no known date for the earliest appearance of SCP-12025. Yeah, I get what you mean. I wonder if part of it's just because we're at the pretty much the age where our lifespans have included Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, if we were to ask any of our parents, like, hey, do you feel like it's always been around? I don't know if they would relate to that.
Yeah. It certainly helps that the song is a fucking banger.
It's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
I know that's not the best phrasing. It's no, like, Chiron Beta Prime, or I'm even partial to Tom Petty's Christmas song. It's Christmas all over again. It's no Simple Plan, It's Christmas, which is the song that's literally about buying a bunch of useless shit. You know, you see so many, this is like a rant I've wanted to do for a while. You see so many, like, you know, oh, the real spirit of Christmas is about loving. It's not about buying things. Simple Plan said, fuck that. Buy me an Xbox. Oh, wait, no, a PlayStation 2. They at least had standards.
Oh, yeah. If there's one thing you could say about Simple Plan, it's that they had standards.
In order, he says, I want the girl of my dreams, a cool pair of shoes, a PlayStation 2. He has his priorities. Oh, my God. Yeah, but no, yeah, it's a... And I mean, like, Christmas music is always overplayed because it's the same songs every year. Every year? Like, you know, I haven't heard Hey There, Delilah in, you know, a while. I don't even listen to the radio in a while. But regardless, like, pop songs kind of come and go. You know, there is sort of the timeless ones like, you know, anything Michael Jackson, for example, or anything Queen. Like, those still get radio play over and over again. But they're still interspersed with, like, more modern songs, you know, the newest T-Swift, the newest Billie Eilish,
the newest Little Nas Z's.
Yeah, so you know, but Christmas music is like, you will hear the stuff from the 1950s because that's just all they have.
Yeah, that's all the Christmas songs that exist. But yeah, just wanted to sort of acknowledge that Mariah Carey season is here, and I don't know if we're gonna have like a seasonal-ish episode, but yeah, no, it's Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
All joking aside, I do quite like Christmas time, actually.
I sometimes like it.
Yeah.
You know what? I like the week leading up to Christmas, not the month leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pretty much the 12 days of Christmas I'm okay with. Also, here's a fun fact that we talked about Christmas-related. My family talked about this, that in the 12 days of Christmas, every day you're getting the item listed. So the items you get the most of are the geese a-laying and the golden rings. Oh, wait, no, it's not that. It's the geese a-laying and the swans a-swimming. Because you have 7 days where you get 6 geese a-laying, and you have 6 days where you get 7 swans a-swimming.
Oh my god, yeah.
Afterwards, it follows a parabola where the partridge in a pear tree in the 12... Is that drummers drumming?
Yeah, 12 drummers drumming, 11 yeah. birds piping, etc.
Yeah, that those are the lowest, both with 12.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of a fun fact.
Yeah, it's on a perfect bell curve.
Yeah, mathematically speaking.
So yeah, today we're going to be talking about, well...
Music? Videos? Music and music videos. Mainly the videos. Let's just go into the fact corner here for our topic for today.
The fact corner.
So we're talking about Zutomayo, a J-rock band, or Japanese rock, which is short for Zutomayo Naka de Ino ni, or I Wish It Were Midnight All the Time, roughly. They first released music in 2018, and not much is known about the group. It's sort of interesting that the listed members on every music video kind of change. The only consistent member is the lead singer Akane, which is spelled as A-C-A, and then the hiragana for ne. Also, like, in live performances, there's a lot of smoke and effects to obscure the faces of the performers. Even Akane, you can barely make out any details of her during performances, other than just sort of her, like, outfit and her general presence. But, like, the performers are, they're almost like stagehands in, like, what's it called? Like, that Japanese theater style where they, like, wear all black and they, like, move objects around.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, that pantomime style, but yeah. I do not
look,
know
look
what
at the stagehand mask from Animal Crossing if you don't know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, they're kind of very secretive, which gives them this very interesting sort of air to them, kind of mysterious. They're musically, their sound is kind of all over the place. They have kind of the post-Vocaloid J-rock staples of violin and piano. They also tend to have really strong bass lines, especially using, like, slap bass. But otherwise, they have, like, a lot of different styles in their songs. Like, they have some more hip-hop songs, some that are kind of electronic, some that are slower, like, piano ballads. And then they have one that's, like, extremely Irish, and one that's, like, a country song. Like, yeah. An American country song. It gets me every time. They also like to use odd things as instruments, there's a song where the lead singer uses a microphone as percussion, and there's another song where some people use a projector tape reel as like almost a record scratch sound. It's really interesting. That's them musically. They have two albums. They are releasing singles for their third album currently. But what's sort of more, I think, prominent in the West, especially for them, is their music videos, of which they have roughly 12 or so. And they're all really good. They're all really well animated. They have a variety of animators who I'll be crediting as we go. But some of them include Wabaku, Sakiyama, Kawasami, Kung Fu Piggy, and more. Most of them are animators that got started during, like, Vocaloid era. Like, Wabaku and Sakiyama especially made Vocaloid music videos before they started doing work with, like, live performance artists. And a lot of them do work with other current, like, J-Rock artists, especially, like, Eve has a lot of videos done by, like, Wabaku. And I think Porter Robinson also had a Wabaku made a video for Porter Robinson, which is kind of cool. But yeah, a lot of different animation styles.
Yeah, it's very eclectic.
Yeah, so us being American, American idiots, if you will, we don't speak Japanese. And from what I can tell, even if we could, the lyrics to some of the songs are, like, equally cryptic in Japanese to Japanese speakers.
Yeah, a lot of the songs do have English subtitles, including one very specific one.
Yes.
But, like, the actual language of the songs do not... much like, you know, a lot of Western...
Yeah.
Music videos where, like, the lyrics of the song do not one-to-one tell the story that the music video does.
Well, even then, it's kind of hard. I'm saying, like, it's kind of hard to decipher the entire meaning from the lyrics alone, both because they're cryptic already and because they are being translated not in a, like, even professional sense most of the time. It's usually, like, hobby translators if we're lucky.
Yeah.
And so we don't get the complete, like, lyrics as written. As intended. And so most of our interpretations are going to be video based because that is the medium that we're able to more connect with and interpret easier, I guess. I do have interpretations of the lyrics when I can, but it comes with a big disclaimer of these are from Japanese lyrics being translated to English.
Yeah, it's Japanese lyrics being translated to English a lot of times by, like, hobbyist translators to then be interpreted by us.
Yes.
So, like, there's a lot of degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm. But I think we're just going to go video by video. I pretty much said all the facts.
Yeah. This is one of those where it's like we would recommend you sort of watch them through, but we're not going to... There is sort of like a cutoff spoiler warning, but we're not going to get into quote unquote spoilers.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into the big twist for a healthy minute there. So if these sorts of, you know, fun artsy videos sound right up your alley, then please do go check them out.
Yeah. I would definitely say, like, check out the first few to see if you're interested in their musical styles. I really think they're, like, one of my favorite artists right now.
Yeah, no. The musical styles are extremely good. Also, should be noted, there is one song that you cannot listen to in America.
Yes.
Because it is blocked in this country. However, yeah. Thanks to the day's sponsor, insert your name here, VPN, you can connect to... Japan and listen to and watch the video as normal.
Yeah, I do have some notes for that video later on. It's interesting because at first only about half of their videos were viewable outside of Japan, but recently, like in the past month, they unregion blocked most of them except that one.
Yeah, it like
I think I know why, but we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah, it is. I want to like. Put a little bit of emphasis on how kind of weird that timing was too, because like we were talking about this episode like 2 months ago.
Yeah,
like Matt introduced me to these videos about 2 months ago, and then just suddenly randomly about a month ago it was like, oh, they're all here more or less.
Yeah, they've been slowly kind of increasing their global availability, I guess, like making more of their merch international. Or, you know, ship internationally, so it kind of makes sense. But yeah, let's just dive in.
Yeah.
to Bite the Second Hand is the first song. The song itself is sort of about somebody wishing they could turn back time to fix a previous relationship. There's sort of the narrator talks about like having awkward, kind of tough conversations during dinner time where neither of them seem happy. And the overarching theme of diving in and biting the second hand, but being unable to do so is like they want to break time or turn back time to go back to those good parts, but they're unable to do so, so they have to just keep moving forward. The clock is a very, very ominous sort of looming presence in both the song and in the video.
Yeah, the visual of the clock is very, is like a sort of, it's honestly sort of like a beating heart.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a mechanic, like, beating heart. So this is the first music video. It's the first one by Wabuku. Wabuku has, I want to say, like, almost a colored pencil style sometimes. Let's go ahead and introduce a few terms really quick. So every music video features prominently features a girl as the main character. This girl is referred to as Nita, or Nita-chan. That's sort of the name for the character in each music video. I think it's an official thing. Yeah, it is an official. There is also a hedgehog named Uniguri, which is sort of the mascot for the band. Uniguri appears on a lot of their merch, and he often takes more of like a comedic foil role, sort of a more lighthearted background character. Something we're also going to prominently bring up a lot, especially starting now, is that there are some characters that the fans have called guardians, and these are pretty much... Usually Nita is the only human character in the music videos, and the guardians tend to be the prominent secondary characters that are not drawn or represented as human, but are humanoid in some way. Usually they have, like, a cloaked body and some prominent head shape.
Yeah, which honestly kind of even calls back to the sort of, like, stagehand look as well.
Yeah. The guardian for this video, for example, has a sort of shield-like head. Very, kind of like a pill shape, almost, a tall oval.
Yeah, and it's divided in quarters where, like, you know, the top left and bottom right are blue, but the top right and bottom left are yellow.
Yeah. The music video features a lot of rotation and a lot of spinning motions. And so, like, in one part, the guardian wraps, like, his arms around Nita, and then his, like, head tilts to the side. And it kind of has the feeling of, like, a latch or, you know, the hands of a clock turning.
Yeah.
There's also, it's interesting, in that specific scene, his head makes a motion that is made previously by Nita. When she sleeps on the kitchen counter, the way she, like, tilts her body to the side is the same motion and timing, which is really cool. Like I mentioned, the song has, like, lines about, like, eating dinner and not knowing what to say, and there is this almost Last Supper imagery going on, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, characters that are sort of, like, sort of look like weird mannequins that are all sort of very still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's even funny, like, one of the last shots directly looks like Last Supper with Nita in, like, that arms kind of out to the side pose. It almost feels intentional to be, like, a betrayal sort of theme. You know, famously, Jesus knew there was going to be a traitor who would turn him in, but he was okay with it. Maybe it's like she feels betrayed by this other person in the relationship, but she has learned to move on from that instead of trying to change things.
Yeah.
Interestingly, also, there is another character that doesn't appear as much as the clockhead, as I call him, which is just like a floating eyeball. And the eyeball specifically appears during a shot of just it and Nita at, like, the dinner table. So it almost seems like that is the person who was directly in the relationship. Whereas the clockhead is more of the feeling of time holding you back.
Yeah.
Bite the Second Hand is, you know, well animated. It looks nice. But yeah, it's actually also, I think, the only one to... I think it has like 100 million views on YouTube or something. It's their most popular music video. And it's a good introduction to sort of the animation style you'll usually see going forward.
Yes, 100 million. It is the highest view count of all their videos.
Yeah.
Or at least all of these videos.
It's a good starting point. I specifically do recommend watching these videos in order.
Yeah, there is a playlist that is like Zootamayo chronological order. that I have managed to actually find.
Nice.
But if that doesn't work, then basically just going to their channel, scrolling down, and going in reverse order also works. The best way to watch them is in, like, full chronological order.
Yeah. So the second video is Nori Ue no Cracker, or like Cracker in Our Mind or something. It has a 3D zoetrope, which is incredible. Yes.
It has a 3D zoetrope of Nina, like, eating chicken or something.
Or chips or something, yeah.
Which is honestly sort of also the introduction of, like, food as a common element. Like, the last one was during dinner, but, like, Nina eating is kind of, like, a common sort of visual kind of metaphor, I want to say.
The zoetrope also has a really cute unigiri rolling around.
Yeah.
It's great. So the lyrics are sort of about somebody, like, wanting their relationship to feel more than artificial. There's sort of a lot of references to social media with, like, checking notifications. And in the chorus, it repeats a line about, like, even if the timing isn't right, even if the light's all wrong, I want to remember this scene or something like that. It's like talking about setting up for a photo, but then instead of taking a photo, you remember it with your eyes. You know, making lasting memories instead of going for the more, like, you know, shareable thing.
Yeah, do taking snaps for the gram.
Yeah. This is directly sort of presented in the music video as both Nita holding a camera and as, like, a camera UI is constantly over the music video. It's sort of in, like, widescreen, where the top and bottom have, like, you know, recording symbol, date and time information, stuff like that. The Guardian in this one has, like, a diamond hole in its head.
Well, he has holes in his head, but a lot of them, it sort of, like, cycles through the...
Oh, is it the suits?
Yeah, the suits of cards.
Yeah, it's Suit Man. Okay.
Suit Man. Because he is also in kind of, like, a trench coat. He's looking coat.
Yeah. There is a Ferris wheel that features prominently. It's sort of like Nita wants to get specifically a shot of the Ferris wheel. The Ferris wheel is, it's kind of an anime trope. I don't know how much this blends into other parts of, like, Japanese culture, I guess. But I've only ever seen it in anime, and so I'm gonna do the weeb thing of expanding upon a trope I see in anime, specifically as if it applies to this. But it's often used as, like, a symbol for a childish romantic event. You know, getting in a Ferris wheel cab with somebody and then going to the top. And it's all tender and intimate. And then you leave the Ferris wheel, and then you go home. So maybe it's sort of a symbol of a relationship. Maybe an idealized version, I'm not sure. There is a lot of references to, like, art in this one, which is kind of neat. There's, like, a part with, like, tearing paper away that kind of has a paper doll look. There's obviously the zoetrope. There are a lot of paintings that are just, or, like, picture frames at least, which both, you know, is, like, photography and, you know, the framing of the shot, but also a painting. And then, yeah, there's the microwave where she spins around in. I don't know if that's really art. Maybe it's like a kiln.
If Nita got in the kiln, would you get in the kiln?
Don't get out of the kiln. Yeah. This is also, not only is it the first appearance of food, it's the first appearance of blue soda.
Ooh.
Which appears quite a few times.
Which has led to the biggest question that all fans have been trying to decipher, which is that... Mountain Dew Voltage, or is it Sun-Kissed Blueberry?
True, yeah. See, that's the thing, is that both of those are kind of hard to find, but neither of them are in diet flavors, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
It could also just be some third thing, you know. You don't know what blue soda's out there. It could be Faygo.
Oh my god. Oh no, Nita is a juggalo.
Oh no!
So yeah, the next episode...
Episode? The next video...
Is called Humanoid.
For the song Humanoid. This is the first music video by Sakiyama. Sakiyama's music videos have sort of this almost like MS Paint line work. Kind of noticeably digital is how I would put it.
Which fits in very well with the sort of like imagery of the music video itself as well.
All of Sakiyama's Nitas also have sort of short, messy hair. Like bedhead almost. The song is about people struggling to communicate, from what I can tell at least, with one desperately trying to reach out but unable to do so due to some sort of fear, and the other disappointed by the lack of face-to-face contact. there is a direct line of, like, even if I reach out, it's just a program, like, not actually contacting them in person. In the music video, this is depicted as a shut-in playing a video game, unwilling to, like, step out of her apartment. As the video progresses, she eventually steps out to meet somebody else, and they have a heart-to-heart where she decides to actually, like, go out and try to experience the world some more. The there's a thing of, like, the entrance to the apartment is crushed by a hand, sort of around that point where she reaches that catharsis. It's really cool. This is the first appearance of Burger Pants, who is I call him that because he looks like Burger Pants from Undertale.
Yeah, he's this, like, it's a silhouette, like a skinny ass silhouetted body, and then, like, the head of, like, a gopher looking thing. A bear. Okay.
Yeah, it's totally a bear with, like, a wacky face.
Listen, it looks really freaking weird, okay? It's a gopher bear.
He does a little dance.
He does do a little dance. Can't wait for that to get into Fortnite.
I would love to see Naruto do that dance. This is also the first appearance of another symbol, which is the streetlight people, where it sort of first just shows up as just a bunch of lights, but they are kind of meant to represent just random other people. It's sort of like, from the perspective of the shut-in, this is just like everybody else in the crowd is like a light flashing a whole bunch, kind of a sensory overload. And these appear mainly in the Sakiyama videos. A lot of times a single returning artist will specifically reference their own videos, or, like, use similar symbols. So there's that. There is... this is actually where the blue-flavored water, or blue seeds crushed. That's a line in the song, but it's represented by a blue drink. The blue drink... I feel like the blue drink is, like... I don't really know what... I think usually it's more of, like, a conversation or honesty is what's sort of represented by it. It's used here to be, like, that is the conversation between the two people starting. In the previous one... It is like consumed during the or it's ignored when trying to take the picture of the Ferris wheel, but it's consumed later on when ignoring the Ferris wheel or something like that. Don't have the exact like scene.
Yeah.
But yeah. It'll come up later. We'll say that much. Humanoid is also kind of interesting for having a really heavy, like, electronic synth going on.
Yeah, Humanoid is I would struggle to call any one song my favorite because, number one, the actual songs themselves are kind of half the story.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, there's also some songs where, like, I love, love, love the music video and the song is very mid to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think that just listening to them as a song, Humanoid might be my favorite.
Yeah, it's very energetic, very fast-paced, a lot of energy in the bridge.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs is actually the next music video, Only Radiant DNA. This is a song about depression, wanting to reject the monotony of everyday life, but falling victim to it by trying to do so. The DNA being like a hard-coded set of behaviors that ultimately seems fatalistically leading to just boring life. The music video, however, is where it gets interesting. This is the turning point.
Yeah.
This is the twist. It's four music videos in, so it's an early twist, but it's a twist. Here is sort of the thing. Just to describe the video, Nita goes about her daily routine, eating food and prepping food and cooking food. But there's a scene where she plays jump rope with some people. And when the rope is skipping through her, it cycles through shots of the previous Nitas. So, like, in one, it's the one from Humanoid, then the one from Cracker, then the one from Bite the Second Hand. There's also, on her wall in her house, photos of a springy ride from Cracker. It's like a springy playground ride. And there's also a photo of the eyeball from Bite the Second Hand. During the second verse, she is approached by the Raven Man.
Who I don't think is the Guardian character.
No. Yeah, it's so... some videos don't have Guardians necessarily. Raven Man could be considered to be the one for this one, but he reappears a lot.
Yeah.
He's one of the other main reoccurring characters, I would say. He kind of takes the role of, like, a waiter bringing different dishes to Nita, but she rejects them all and instead eats, like, prepackaged food or fast food. She has like a fast food burrito, something that looks like a hash browns or a slice of like cooked fast food fish.
Which also ties in that the sort of like a lot of the background sort of random people have faces that are like healthy foods.
Yeah, they're vegetables. There's one that I think is a mushroom. It's interesting. So a lot of them also have flowers. And there's a part where the Raven Man presents a plate of flowers and Nira can't bring herself to eat it. I kind of feel like the flowers are sort of self-actualization, you know, like blooming. And the people who are vegetables have also bloomed, but she is unable to do so for some reason. You know, some struggle in her life keeping it back.
Yeah.
So by during the bridge, she grabs a flashlight and leaves her house, and she starts walking down some, like, alleyways, which look like the first-person shooter in Humanoid. Because the person in Humanoid was playing a video game. And then she actually walks into the apartment entrance and into the monitor room that the shut-in from Humanoid was in. And she smashes the monitors with the flashlight. And so this is directly the Nita from Humanoid.
And that's the... This is the beginning of the sort of... I guess you would call it, like, lore hunting of the videos?
Continuity? Yeah, yeah. So... We'll definitely talk more about the lore, quote-unquote, later on. I don't know if there really is lore in the same sense there is for something like Pets Cop, for example.
Yeah.
Or something like Mystery Skulls, to use another musical example, where there is literally a continuous serialized story. It often feels like it's more so reoccurring symbols, in that the repeating characters are used to provide cues into the theme. They're a sort of lens to look at. But there is continuity to some degree, and it might not be a exact storyline, but there is, like, so many references as we continue.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of music videos that sort of, like, simply, or a lot of media, I should say, that sort of just simply references old media, and it doesn't have to be, you know, the picture frame in Seinfeld is the same picture frame as in Mario Party, so these are the same game, but, like, The continuity in Zutomayo's collection is so direct and, like, has a lot of thematic through lines. So, like, it isn't so much that the whole of it is telling a concise story as it is that, like, the themes of every video tie into the themes of every other video.
Yeah. But the characters are the same. Now, here's sort of a very interesting point about Humanoid, or not Human, well, yeah, Humanoid. So, the... In Humanoid, there are two characters that are humans, you know, humans. There's the one that we follow throughout the video, and then there's the second one. The Nita in Only Radiant DNA is the second one. She has the same hair color and everything as that second Nita. This is sort of a digital interactive media hypothesis, but my hypothesis, or not hypothesis, extrapolation.
Extrapolation, yes.
My extrapolation is that the Nita with orange hair from Humanoid was like the virtual avatar of this one. Because there is a scene where she's playing the first person shooter and she appears directly on the screen with like a screen filter showing.
Yeah.
That's like her wanting to be reclusive. And the conversation they have is more of an internal one. The you know, whether or not to continue with being reclusive or trying to push herself and do new things.
Yeah. Which and, then kind of could tie into the theme of the second video of Humanoid, in that, like, that could sort of show, like, you know, in the previous video, in DNA, she sort of does reject the TV and go outside.
You have them mixed up. Humanoid's the first one. Sorry. DNA's the second one.
In Humanoid, she does reject the TV and go outside, but DNA could be the one that's showing basically, like, the struggle, like, what led her to that life to begin with.
Yeah.
You know?
That, like, the monotony seems to have just come back once more.
Yeah.
But this time she permanently severs herself by crushing the monitors. Yeah, so this is sort of what I call the halfway point of the first arc. It should be noted that all of these songs so far have been singles for their first album, and it will be for a while. I conveniently think that every music video through this, like, first album release period makes a solid narrative arc, and this is, like I said, the halfway point. Partially because this is that first time where it's really brought to attention the continuity. But we get a continuity break with the next two videos, which are both by the animator Kawasemi. Kawasemi's Neeras have short, kind of bushy hair, mainly white hair as well. It's interesting because, like, Wabuku and Sakiyama and some of the other reoccurring animators, their Neeras have, like, the same hairstyle but different hair colors, whereas Kawasemi's Neeras all have, like, the same hair color, which makes the link even more noticeable, I guess.
Yeah, more prevalent.
Mm-hmm. This is the Irish song as well. It whenever the chorus comes on, I just go, she played a fiddle in an Irish band, she fell in love with an Englishman. Like, it just has that air. It's got the, like, fiddle. It has duck quacks, which is also great.
Yeah, oh, I love the fucking duck quacks.
Quack, quack. The lyrics are about a long-distance relationship falling apart through lost contact, and the music video is of the same thing. This is, like, a really beautiful music video. Kawasemi has, like, a watercolor art style.
Yeah, it's...
That works for these more, like, tender songs, I guess.
It's a lot of, like, it is a lot of pastels, but that makes, like... It starts off with a lot of pastels, but, like, then there's just a lot of harsh blacks that really emphasize the darker moments.
Yeah. So the guardian this time is Stamphead, and Stamphead has a stamp for a head, and that sort of, you know, it's like a letter. The kind of general visual motif is both letters being sent and phone calls being made. There's, like, one phone in particular that both of them use to communicate with each other. Those are long-distance forms of communication. And the stamp head itself is, like, replacing the person's face with just the words on the letter.
Yeah.
There is a, like, a kind of devil-looking figure, but, like, a cute devil-looking figure, kind of like a Pokemon, that appears in a few shots. And towards the end, the devil figure jumps into, like, the stamp head's head. And then the stamp head kind of stands up. So I think that the devil figure is the one in the relationship, and they moved apart, and then, like, he directly became Stamphead in that sort of way.
Yeah.
There's also, like, moving boxes present in a lot of shots as well, you know, more, like, directly showing moving apart. There is a scene where Nita crushes a stamp in her hand into black ink, and the black liquid is similar to the blue liquid, but not really. Some things turn blue, some things turn black. I think black things are generally, like, harsher memories, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's definitely a parallel to the like, the crushing seeds.
Yeah. So, it's kind of spooky, almost. There's a few really kind of unsettling scenes in this one.
Yeah.
There's one where Stamphead has a bunch of stamp-shaped holes in him, but it's not, like, you know, it's not, like, gore or anything.
Yeah, it's like just a
jigsaw,
like,
puzzle.
It's like, you know, they literally drew it and then just sort of, like, took a tool in Photoshop and was like, erase this in the shape of a stamp. It's really visually interesting.
There's also Stamphead becomes a tree, but it also kind of looks like a mold or a fungus at times. But it becomes a tree, and there's this really nice visual of Stamphead growing into, you know, a tree, but then that tree providing shade. Towards the end of the video, in the final few shots, you don't see Stamphead, but you do see shade cast from a tree. There's a really beautiful shot of Nita on the couch, and then the other side of the couch is just, like, leaves casting a shadow on it. You know, the symbolism is sort of like the relationship. She no longer feels the burning need to talk to the person all the time. She is able to take the time spent with them and keep that as, like, a more happy memory that has grown its roots into her and has cast shade on her to, like, provide comfort, but she doesn't have to live it all the time.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the same drive to always talk. It's kind of sad.
It's bittersweet, but mm-hmm. I think it is still supposed to be a happy, you know, thing. People have to move on from things.
Yeah.
And it's always sad, but it is always a... It's a necessity to sort of be a fully formed adult.
Mm-hmm. Stamphead's one of my favorite guardians. He just wants to talk. He's a good friend. He's a tree.
He's a tree.
Yeah. He's tree now. The second Kawasemi video is Kicked Away Blanket, which is one of the darkest videos.
Yeah, it is. So, like, it is this sort of waltzy, like, so I'm going to say lounge music. Lounge music has a very negative connotation, yeah. I think, in that, you know, when I say that, I mean, like, it evokes a soundscape of a lounge.
Yeah.
You know?
It has, like, that light piano and then some, like, guitar in the back that is meant for more, like, harmony.
Yeah. It's kind of jazzy.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it definitely helps that one of the first shots is, like, Nita walking through a, like, high-class club of some sort. A bunch of people that are, like, mannequins holding wine glasses. The lyrics, this is one of the ones that I have a harder time really wrapping my head around. I think it's more about, like, somebody being inspired by someone but being unable to talk to them directly. It feels like trying to compare yourself to a great artist or an artist you respect, and wanting validation despite being your own worst critic. You know, like, when you see all these good artists doing things, it's kind of tempting to look at your own work and be like, this sucks, I'm never gonna make it. But then you also want that artist to tell you, hey, this is good. There's, like, the chorus has lines about, like, wanting to talk to somebody despite not knowing their voice or something like that. Like, kind of like wanting to talk to a figure that you've never talked to before, that you have kind of a one-way relationship with. I think this is more so because in the video, Nita watches videos, like VHSs, of a pianist. But then she can't bring herself to play the piano. She, like, gets really hurt by doing so. And that pressure she feels put onto herself isn't helping her. Even though, like, clearly by the start of it, she's already good enough to play in a club.
The guardian for this video is a Kingdom Hearts boss.
Yeah, he's like a spooky mannequin man. It's interesting because, like, one of the last shots is her playing the piano with the mannequin man, like, hunched over her, and she's crying. And it is, it's hard to tell if this is a good influence or not. It seems like it's a bad influence.
Yeah.
Like, she is hurt by this guy hunching over her. I think it's that, like, kind of parasocial idolization of an artist. It could be somebody who she was in a relationship with or was with before, and she's, like, haunted by the hole that they left. You know, the reason she can't play the piano now is because they, for some reason, aren't with her, and her inspiration or her motivation is lost. I don't know how that factors in with the VHSs, though, which is why I lean towards the previous reading.
Yeah. Do remember VHSs for later. Although, I mean, like, sort of CRTs and, like, analog displays have already had sort of a presence as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the video game duology.
Yeah. I do also want to mention just a really cool note, which is that the song has some fast, like, piano trills. I don't know what they're called exactly. But, like, a bunch of notes being played super fast in a line. And those are represented by a, like, phases of the moon clock, where it goes in a circle and it starts out waxing and then it goes to waning. It's a very cool imagery.
Yeah.
Now we go to the third Sakiyama video. Sakiyama's back, everybody, with Such a Disturbance, aka Wow, Cool Yokai. This one's pretty neat. It has Ninja Nita.
It has probably the most powerful Nita we've seen so far.
So far.
Thus far.
Thus far, yes. So we get the return of some of the previous Sakiyama symbols, like this, like, hand puppet. It's like dog hand puppet thing. It does a little yappy yap. The Raven Man comes back. The lyrics, I think, are about somebody who wants to be stronger in some way, but has a hard time asserting themselves. And so, like, envisions a better version without really being able to accomplish that. The music video has Nita travel into an arena in this, like, town full of, like, yokai monsters. Not really rendered monstrously. It's kind of like people with, like, paper lanterns for heads. It is a Chochin Obake, a paper lantern yokai. It's just like a old, like, monster that you see in a lot of media. It's a paper lantern with usually one or two eyes and a big mouth. It's interesting, though, that it's a lantern, which is like an old version of a traffic light.
Ooh.
Or a street light, which was the Sakiyama people from before.
We also, as you mentioned, get the return of Mr. Raven Man, which I think is probably the start of the question of what is the Raven Man?
Yeah, who is the Raven Man?
So, like, The Raven Man shows up and, like, sort of shows Unigiri a book, and then the hedgehog, like, drags a light into a literal, glass light bulb.
Yeah.
Into the arena. And so, like, basically the question that I want to ask is the Raven Man good or bad?
Yeah. So, there's the specific timeline of events. So Nita goes into the arena, fights a monster, barely wins, then gets attacked by a monster and is unable to defeat it. Then, yeah, the Raven Man comes out. The light bulb, so there is a scene with two of these streetlight people, now with, like, bodies, and one of them has a light bulb with flowers in it, the same flowers as we've seen previously in Sakiyama's videos. And the light bulb falls out, and then the Raven Man picks up the light bulb, takes it with him, and then sees Unigiri. So there is an actual, like, sequence of events of him getting the light bulb. When Unigiri brings the light bulb to Nita, he powers it up, where it turns into a firework and explodes. The firework animation was seen in Nori Ueno Cracker. There's, like, a scene a few times with the firework exploding. It's a reference to that. It's one of the earlier references to another animator's music video, alongside the one in DNA. But so afterwards, so the firework beats the monster and Unigiri dies.
Spoiler alert. The hedgehog fucking dies.
He fucking dies. It's so sad. I was showing these to a friend and he was like, oh, I love this guy. Because we're watching Cracker where, like, Unigiri does a dance. And he was basically doing the Brooklyn Nine-Nine thing. The if anything happens to him, kill everyone and then myself. But, like, yeah, and then he dies in fucking such a disturbance. And Nita is sad for it. So the light bulb, again, it has a flower in it. I think it's, again, self-actualization in some way, which fits with the theme of the song. And in this case, Unigiri is, like, the one who is able to induce that into Nita, but of course he makes a sacrifice for it.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, so the Raven Man, I don't know if quite yet we can make a statement on the Raven Man's
moral intentions. More,
yeah, his intentions.
Yeah, because thus far, he seems to have only been doing good, basically.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Though he did kill Unigiri.
He did kill
Unigiri. But he did save Nita, so it's hard to say. The last shot of such a disturbance is, like, a destroyed planet, which leads into the next music video. Or not a destroyed planet, it's a solar system, which leads into the next music video. The next one having my favorite song.
Yes, and probably also my favorite song.
It's also a really good video, Until the End. So, this is The Return of Wabaku, Wabaku's third video. The lyrics are, it's interesting because it's, Zutomayo has a lot of breakup songs and songs about, like, post-breakup. This is one of the most assertive ones because the narrator actually starts the breakup in this one. Whereas most of the time it's the narrator reacting to it, which I think is really cool. The lyrics are about people who need to move on to each other because they're just not working out. But it is, like, reassuring to the person. Like, you'll find that you're one eventually. There's a lot of references to, like, swimming, and the chorus has, like, even though I've drowned, I'll just remember to take some short breaths. Sort of, like, reassuring herself that it'll be okay, alongside reassuring the other person. Now, the music video, Unigiri finds love, which is great, but Nita is, like, a space idol broadcaster?
Yeah.
Very Ulala.
Yeah, I was about to fucking say, it's like, she looks like Ulala from Space Channel 5.
Zutomayo sponsored by Honda.
We have to save Space Unigiri.
Yeah, there's also, so the early shots show the Ferris wheel and the clock heart for sale. And then later on, they are half submerged because the world floods. This is a, like, post-apoc or mid-apoc, mid-post-apoc world where all of the previous symbols have been destroyed.
It can't, at least we're in the post-apocalypse, and it can't get any worse than the post-apocalypse. Newspaper falls. We're actually in the pre-apocalypse.
Yeah. There's also a pretty prominent shot of a phone booth flooding, which could be a reference to Justice. The very, very, very intro has the Wabaku Nira sort of unzipping, displaying the new Space Nita, which is pretty neat.
Now, Is this, this is the video that also has a visualization of the bombing of Hiroshima, right?
Yeah. It has World War II imagery with like war planes overhead.
Yeah. Do not know if we're qualified to talk on that.
Yeah.
The like thematic impact of that.
It's an interesting shot.
It is.
It's very striking and different than the rest of the music video.
Oh, also the guardian character is, I think, the most like stagehand looking one.
He has like a robe on, but then he also has like a hood over his head. It's a black and white hood, though.
Yeah.
Not completely black. There's a guy from Bleach that it sort of like reminds me of, but I don't remember his name.
Oh, it's Jonathan Bleach.
Yeah, John Bleach. So, also in the choruses, secondhand Nira appears to, like, talking to the Guardian and stuff. Very interchangeable with Space Nira. She appears in front of a window that I think was the window. I think it was behind the table in secondhand. And also during this, a like metal machine appears a few times. It kind of looks like the heart. It kind of looks like it's or the clock heart. Kind of looks like it's beating like the clock heart.
It's like a massive pressure cooker.
Yeah, or like a furnace. In this one, the Guardian writes a message using a like clock hand that fell from one of the clocks and then disappears. At the very end, Nira sprouts like wings in a horn. And then a shot is there of her walking towards the Guardian with like a broken, destroyed planet in the background. And there's kind of a fun fact about this that in one of the, there was like a bonus comic with the album that revealed that the planet was destroyed by Space Nira herself.
Yes, so despite being probably the cutest of the Niras, she is currently top of the charts for most powerful Nira.
Yeah, she's definitely up there in the pecking order. Yeah, this video's great. The song's great. It uses some good acoustic guitar. There's a sense of finality to it, especially with like all the previous sort of weenie-esque symbols disappearing.
Yeah.
You know, the clock heart and the Ferris wheel. It feels like they're like, you know, burning everything in this relationship, all the things to the ground, to just start fresh.
Yeah.
Again, don't know how that ties in with the bombing imagery.
Again, we're not qualified to talk about this.
I do love the, like, Outer Wild sort of feel to this music video as well. Like, the spacecraft Uniguri and Nira have are both very, like, DIY space.
Yeah. Also, there's a cute little dance that I really want to learn for myself.
Yeah.
It's very simple, but it's really cute.
Mm-hmm. Would you look at that? It's another surprise two-parter episode because we recorded 2 hours of content for this episode, so you're going to have to stop it here, which is just about the end of the music videos for their first album, and next week we'll dive into the remaining music videos. Until then, you can check us out on Twitter at NetSurferPro, where we post teasers and little riddles for our upcoming episodes. You can also like us, comment us, rate us, however, on any podcasting platform you like. Let us know how we're doing. You know, let us know any sort of suggestions for upcoming topics or also thoughts on the topic we discuss in an episode. You can follow me on Twitter at MattCraigGaming, where I post little you know, links to things that I'm doing and working on and that I release. Just my general thoughts on stuff. I've got a kind of fun Christmas mashup coming up that I'll be linking to through that Twitter that you can check out there. You can also follow Galen on Twitter at GalenWilS0N for his takes and his links. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time with the remaining Zootomayo music videos.